Well, as we know, most papers today have details of that horrific attack on Quinn Industrial Holdings Chief Operating Officer Kevin Lunny 2 nights ago. Details that really make for upsetting reading. I'm joined now by John McCartan, Quinn Industrial Holdings Board Member. John, good morning to you. Thank you for taking our call. You must still be in a state of shock after what happened to your colleague Kevin Lunny yesterday or the day before.
Yes, I suppose over the last few years we thought we had become somewhat hardened to threats and intimidation, but this is a whole new level. Obviously, it's difficult to come to terms with the details of it all and to try and absorb the reality of it.
How are Kevin and his family doing?
Well, you know, I can't speak for Kevin's family. Kevin sustained a horrific attack that he will have a long road to recovery from, and it's made all the more sad, you know, by the fact that knowing Kevin so well, he's one of the most decent men I've ever worked with, one of the most honest and straightforward and understated men that I've ever had the pleasure to work with, and he was a very crucial part of our efforts to retain these Quinn businesses as they were in a local ownership structure, so that they would be here as the most important economic driver in the Northwest. And to see Kevin targeted for his work in such an important exercise for his community is all the more saddening.
And it's reported now that effectively you had death threats sent to you, and that information was passed to the police authorities some months ago. And there was anger and disappointment, I think, expressed by your chairman yesterday, saying that he was frustrated as well as angry that more hadn't been done to protect Kevin.
Yes, well, you know, I guess it is difficult in a large company to ensure with 100% surety the safety of everybody who operates there. But nevertheless, it's very frustrating that in this day and age, people cannot go about working for the well-being of their community and their country in safety. And you know, I suppose what's more worrying even is that this last attack on Kevin was, you know, obviously a procured, financed, and resourced with both physically stolen vehicles and human resource. So it is clearly not a random, per chance meeting. And the people who did this have been contracted to do it, have been paid to do it, and it's a very sinister turn of events.
And you said as well in the statement, or your chairman did, that you find it inexplicable that not a single arrest has been made, north or south, despite dozens of incidents.
Yeah, these guys must be particularly good at covering their tracks. But yeah, certainly we've been threatened both anonymously in writing and by people we know to our faces. And yeah, to our frustration, nobody seems to have been arrested or questioned with regard to this yet.
Is there a sense of fear among the staff as well as the directors there?
Well, you know, at the moment it's shock. We've learned to deal with a certain element of fear over the years, but this particular escalation, the overwhelming feeling around the area and around the companies here are those of shock and sympathy for Kevin and his family, and support for Kevin and his family. You know, a family that are regarded as highly as any family could be in this community.
And I've read suggestions that perhaps this attack, which you say was organised, was resourced and so forth, that it was designed to coincide with a planned meeting of the board.
Yes, well, there has been a pattern of events and communications surrounding the timing of our board meeting. So the fact that this happened on the eve of our board meeting that was scheduled for yesterday and today is consistent with the pattern that has been there before. And indeed, we did inform the police forces both sides of the border that our board meeting was taking place and that we suspect it was a heightened risk time.
And would many people have known about the intention to hold the board meeting this week?
Well, yeah, it's difficult to keep these sort of things under wraps because board meetings, you know, you have investors attending to, you know, to be appraised of the strength of their investment and the state of play in the company. So you have to prepare reports from all divisions within the companies, and people would know that the meetings were happening. And with the best will in the world, it would be impossible to keep them entirely secret.
And what about the implications for the business and for its future, given that the kind of attacks on the company and its executives have reached this terrifying level?
Yeah, well, you know, all I can say, Sean, is that these are attacks on the economic well-being of the region, as well as being horrific personal attacks. They are attacks on a business that is here to provide employment and supports thousands of jobs in this region. 850 odd people employed directly here in the businesses, contractors in here as well, and a much wider economic and financial circle around this business in this region. And these attacks are injurious to everybody who lives in the Northwest.
Do you take comfort from the fact that Sean Quinn has roundly and strongly condemned as barbaric this attack?
I suppose any condemnation is of little comfort, really, at this stage. What we need is not only those who actually and directly perpetrate these crimes to be brought to heel, but whoever is instigating, procuring and paying for them also to be brought to heel.
And is there a belief on your part and that of colleagues that paramilitaries were the ones, or some kind of paramilitary or people with paramilitary experience would have been the ones who carried out the attack?
I wouldn't get into speculation myself, nor do any of us in the company intend to get into speculation about the identity of those who are doing this. Really, that's work for the police forces on both sides of the border.
But is there a sense, if there's such support for the jobs, and obviously that's understandable, and indeed for Kevin Lunny himself, is there also an atmosphere of fear and intimidation in the area that people are, perhaps people with information, are afraid to cooperate with the police? Just the whole omerta business.
Yeah, well, that's, I suppose, been a feature of life along the border for a couple of generations now at this stage. And people are slow to speak, but the patience of this community is worn very thin at this stage. And I imagine that people are supportive both in their minds and in their words and actions now as well.
And what about yourself, John? You live there. I think you grew up in that community. I mean, are you concerned that you might have to pull back from the business just for the sake of your own safety and life?
We got into this project, you know, as I said at the outset of this call, to preserve and retain what is the most important economic driver in what would otherwise be an extremely impoverished part of Ireland. There isn't much else here, we cannot lose sight of the importance of the project we took on here. And yes, I worry about these attacks and the effects it will have on this business and the ability of these businesses to retain the level of investment it takes to keep them going and to retain the newfound profitability that they've been brought to. So, yes, of course, we have concerns.
And, for instance, we read that some of your board members were flying in from the United States for the meeting. They turned around and took the next flight home. I mean, is there a sense that they may feel, look, they don't want to be involved in a business where these kind of risks are part and parcel of it?
Any bad news relating to these businesses and to any business is unwelcome and is a deterrent for investment. And there's no doubt about it that we are concerned about that.
And what about your engagement with the police authorities on both sides of the border? Given your disappointment and anger that no arrests have been made, is there a need for an increase and an intensification of your exchanges and cooperation with the police?
Well, it's not for me to prescribe how to manage Garda resources or police resources. You know, I have spoken directly with Minister Flanagan, and you know, I am reassured that he realises the enormity of what's happening here and the difficulty that we are experiencing. And I would hope that the level of resource that's needed to tackle this and the level of resolve within the force that's needed to tackle this will be there.
And have you got that that assurance from the Minister?
Yes, I have.
Okay, John McCartan, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Board member thank of you. Quinn Industrial Holdings. John, thank you very much. And we did that interview just before we came on air this morning. Now, Sean Quinn, the man who set up and presided over the Quinn business empire before losing control of it during the financial crash, has been speaking to Shannon Side Radio's Joe Finnegan in an interview just broadcast in the past hour. So let's hear some of what Sean Quinn had to say. First of all, his reaction to the attack.
Well, my reaction would be the same as anybody else. It would be a sense of outrage, as you have described it, in the local community. I haven't been speaking to nobody else. I don't know. You mentioned to me this morning, a couple of hours ago, how the outrageous attack, and it would appear to me to be a fairly barbaric attack, I would describe it as. And, of course, any proper individual, anybody with any sense or any morals would of course condemn that. And that man has a wife and kids, and of course you'd condemn it totally. There's no other way around it, and my family has been on, and they have been, they're outraged as well, and they've been on to me about that we're going to take the flak for this, and that we have been blamed for this, and that some people will look our direction at it. And I suppose all I would ask is that people would say, well, Sean Quinn, these guys pushed me out to sack me 3.5 years ago, and I have had no correspondence or no dealings, no arguments, no fights or anything with them since. So I don't know. It's a pity that people are coming back to me all the time and asking me to condemn it. Sure, of course, I know I've condemned it dozens of times. Any incidents that has happened, of course you condemn them.
And Sean Quinn also spoke to Shannon Side about the nature of this attack and the context in which it has taken place.
What I have described is a barbaric attack. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not what normal human beings do to each other. But what I'm saying is that I'm disappointed that people are always coming back to me and asking me about this, because since I left there, since I was sacked from there, the current executives, the current directors, have issued legal proceedings against former directors, managers, staff, neighbours and friends. There's an awful lot of conflict down there, and it's not me. I haven't been involved for the last 3.5 years. So I think it's a pity that maybe some of the media doesn't ask the people that are the victims of the legal cases that have been brought against them, rather than coming through to me. I'm gone. I'm out of that, as I said, for 3.5 years. But of course, as regards, so I don't want that to be seen as trying to push it off and only condemning it partially. I'm condemning it totally and absolutely. There's no way around that. But I'm just saying that it shouldn't still be linked to Sean Quinn as the man that has to condemn this. Other people in the area that are the victims of this, why do they feel this whole thing is ongoing?
Sean Quinn speaking on Shannon's Side. Now I'm joined by Richard Curran, presenter of The Business on RT Radio and columnist with Independent Newspapers. Richard, a huge amount of controversy about the Quinn Industrial Holdings Company. Just give us a bit of the history and the position it's in now.
Basically, Sean, everybody will be familiar with the Sean Quinn empire, which disintegrated for him after his purchase of Anglo-Irish Bank shares and his debts and all of the court cases that followed from that. Basically, the Quinn family shares in that group were taken over by a receiver on behalf of Anglo-Irish Bank, which became IBRC or the state. And bits and pieces of the group were sold off. So, for example, there was a big wind farm sold to a French company for $100 million. The glass bottle manufacturing business was sold to a Spanish group in a €400 million deal. And then the old core of the business, which was really the cement and concrete operations in around Derry Lynn, they were sold to a consortium. And the consortium was made up very much of local businessmen, including John McCartan, who we just heard from, some previous executives who had worked with Sean Quinn as senior executives in his business for decades, Liam McCaffrey, Kevin Lunny, who this awful, appalling tragedy has happened to. And they were backed by by three American investment funds. And these three funds basically put up most of the money to buy the business. They bought it for 98 million euro. They own 80% of it, and the local consortium owned the rest. And from that point on, there was a sense that this local consortium very much had the backing of Sean Quinn, had the backing of the community. Sean Quinn was hired as a consultant on €500,000 a year. But relationships began to sour. And it ended somewhat acrimoniously. Sean Quinn there in his interview in Shannon's side said that they had moved to sack him. At the time, in 2016, it said that he was going by mutual agreement. The company executives had claimed that Sean Quinn wanted a board seat at the board of the company, that he had wanted some equity in it as well. Sean Quinn denied that that was the case. And Sean Quinn said this morning he's had no real dealings with them ever since. It's interesting, though, when we hear about these kinds of stories and threats and bullets in the post and cars being firebombed and now this really appalling violent act, there is at times a tendency to think that the community there is just a single unit, that everybody feels the same way. This is a business that has grown its revenues by 50% in the last 3 years. It employs 850 people. It clearly has the backing and support of a very, very large section of the community there, and they're trying to get on with that. And you have these incidents taking place, and Sean Quinn has condemned them, probably the most vociferously that he has, given the seriousness of what happened in that interview. He has distanced himself completely and said, why do people come to us? And I think that it does reflect that there's probably a core of individuals there who feel very disgruntled with how the business is run or what has happened or what has transpired, and they seem to be behind this.
Yes, and he referred there, he alluded to legal letters that were flying, I suppose, in the direction of people like himself and others as a result, or in the years since he departed the company 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, and there have been a number of issues arising, and it's interesting. I would have thought that this is really a policing and security problem now, and the executives have said that they'd like to see more action on that front. Sean Quinn himself had an interesting interjection where he was suggesting that perhaps someone should look at the reasons why these individuals, some of whom have been pursued by the company in legal action for defamation. Some of them have made very serious allegations against the current management, and it has been quite acrimonious. There were postings on Facebook and on social media. The company tried to get those taken down, and there are a number of legal actions. And he was saying perhaps if there was some sort of a talks process between those two sides, that might yield some.
Yeah, and Richard, does he retain some hope, realistic or otherwise, of getting back in control or being involved again in the company?
Well, I thought he had a very interesting line there in that interview. When he was sacked, stroke left by mutual agreement in 2016 from his consultancy role in the business, he said that there had been a sort of an agreement, and he said that it would open a pathway towards the business to potentially return to the Quinn family at some point in the future. But in the interview a short time ago on Shannon's side, he said that we've moved on and we want to get involved in other things. Now, after he was removed from the consultancy role, he did publicly say that he would like to see the Quinn cement business back in Quinn family hands again, but he seemed to be alluding to something else there in the interview.
Richard, thank you very much indeed for those insights. That's Richard Curran there, presenter of The Business on RTÉ Radio and columnist with Independent News and Media.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTÉ Radio 1.